Hello and welcome to the World Transformation Movement's Freedom Essay Series. I'm Tim McCartney-Snape and this is Freedom Essay 8. How this ends racism forever. The first presentation here is by Franklin Mukokanga, Zambian advertising director, radio host and founder of the WTM Zambia Centre, and was made during the WTM's first global conference in Sydney in February 2017. Franklin describes how Jeremy Griffith's explanation of the human condition brings the desperately needed reconciling understanding to the relationship between races, explaining how, from my own experience, I can say with absolute certainty that, as the word gets out, freedom will provide the key to healing poor or strained race relations throughout the world. Basically, this understanding of the human condition will end all prejudices like racism forever. The next is a 2022 video call between Rufense Molasiwa from Mafeking, South Africa, and Tony Mile from the Sydney WTM Centre. Rufense is a 27-year-old in 2022 author who studied philosophy at the University of Pretoria and is the founder of the WTM Mafeking Centre. Rufense also describes how understanding the human condition ends racism, explaining that the wonderful thing about Jeremy's work is it was just so healing, so reconciling, that every form of animosity I ever had to white people or anything like that was all wiped away in an instant. The parts of Franklin's and Rufense's presentations in which they address racism are highlighted yellow in their transcripts. The full explanation of how this critically important reconciliation of the races is achieved is presented in Freedom Essay 28. These presentations also appear in Video 8 in the main videos towards the top of our homepage at www.humancondition.com, as well as appearing in this video or Essay 8 of the Freedom Essay series. So here's Franklin Mukokanga.
My name is Franklin Mukokanga of the Ila tribe of Southwest Zambia. I represent the WTM Centre in Zambia's capital, Lusaka. In October 2016, which is about 3 months ago now, I downloaded Freedom, the End of the Human Condition, from the WTM's website, after coming across an online advertisement offering a free copy. As it turns out, Freedom is biologist Jeremy Griffith's definitive work on the human condition. Anyway, within 5 weeks, I devoured the book from cover to cover, as well as a lot of his earlier writing, and found his explanation of the human condition not only answered so many questions about us as a species, but also explained me as an individual in ways that nothing else had done before. And it did it so thoroughly that it completely rewired my understanding of the world and immediately began stilling my mind and healing my soul. Freedom deals with subjects as diverse as why we as a species are so divisive and destructive, how and why we adopt the way of living that inevitably leads us to being egotistical and hungry for fame, hungry for glory, why the sexes are at war, why the different races or people groups of the world are so different and interact the way they do, the origin, nature, purposes, and roles of religion and science, and how they fit into the human journey. The path to reconciliation of ourselves with ourselves and with the wider world. This seminal work inspired such a regeneration within me and sparked such hope for humanity's future that I could not sit on the sidelines and watch humanity hurtling towards self-destruction anymore. Finally, I had the answer to my own and the world's troubled situation. The answer that, though challenging and potentially confronting, as all truth must be, was at the same time transforming. I started sharing what I'd learned with my friends, my colleagues, and even my children. And the lights I saw coming on in their eyes as they grasped these understandings and the deep changes taking place within them and myself as a result of coming into contact with this information inspired me to open a World Transformation Center in Lusaka. If everyone could get this reconciling understanding, we could restore humanity's alienated soul and save the human race from destroying itself. I had to do my part. In working as part of the WTM, I'm helping to bring true healing and transformation to the world. Most especially to Africa, where I live, where the ravages of poverty, HIV, and inequality make life a living hell for the vast majority of people. And where the struggle to make sense of our lot leads to such despondency and dysfunction. Knowledge is power. And no knowledge is more powerful than self-knowledge. As a Bantu man, or an African man, depending on your choice of terminology, born and living in a country once colonized by the British, like so many, I had no love for the Caucasian race. I didn't hate them. I just hated what they had done and continue to do to my people in the process of bringing us civilization. It was incredible then to read Jeremy's compassionate first principle-based explanation of the differences between the races. I learned that these differences exist because each race has had a different level of exposure to humanity's psychologically upsetting but heroic search for self-understanding. And it's these different degrees of exposure that have directed the ways in which different races behave, both amongst themselves and towards others. Well, when I learned this, all the negative feelings I'd harbored for many, many years about the more upset races from more advanced civilizations, such as the Caucasians, immediately melted away. Jeremy had so fully and accountably explained our racial differences that it healed my inner resentment of colonizing Brits and, by extension, of the Caucasian race and others, cutting like a hot knife through butter. It even made me aware of my own race's oppression of other races, such as the Kung Bushmen. From my own experience, I can thus say with absolute certainty that as the word gets out, freedom will provide the key to healing poor or strained race relations throughout the world. Basically, this understanding of the human condition will end all prejudices like racism forever. It's so exciting to think about what the world is going to be like when this understanding becomes widely known and understood. Because it is going to bring about a world that is harmonious, healed, and transformed, which is the glorious home our species deserves at the end of its journey to self-understanding. Freedom is a phenomenal, far-reaching work whose value, especially at this point in Earth's history, cannot be overstated. And I'm excited about being a part of WTM's momentous project.
That was Franklin Mukukanga. And now here we have Rifense Molasiwa from Mafeking, South Africa, and Tony Mile from the Sydney WTM Centre.
Tell me a bit about yourself. How long ago did you come across the information?
About maybe a month and a half ago. I was on YouTube, ironically searching a video on existentialism, and one of the adverts was the interview. I'd seen the advert before one time, but I just ignored it. I didn't click on the link the first time. And the second time, I was like, hey, maybe there's something here, because the way that guy said, stop what you're doing, this is a very important interview you have to check. I was like, okay, let me give it some attention, because naturally I'm just a very curious person and I like reading. And when I watched the interview, absolutely, my mind was blown away, like instantly. I was shocked, and luckily for me, how I was raised and all this type of stuff, I didn't suffer from the death effect when I immediately read the book, because after watching the video, all I did was download all of Jeremy Griffith's books. Started with Death by Dogma, then went straight to Freedom.
Thank
and,
you.
Death by Dogma was a good introduction, nice and short, straight to the point. Nice and like punchy, liked it, highlighted almost the whole book because it was just so shocking. Specifically because ever since COVID started, I was not really aware of like liberalism and everything that comes with it. or like let's say the dichotomy between left and right and all this type of stuff. So when it was talking about liberalism and, you know, this feel-good nature that the liberals are, or the liberal way of life is trying to impose on life and all this, it just made like absolute sense, because that was probably one of the biggest things I felt about COVID. There's this feel-good factor that is trying to be imposed on the world, that we must all follow this, everything is good, let's, you know, virtue signaling type of situation. And I was, that really hit me hard. I was like, man, this is actually what's, makes so much sense to see what's really going on, and how the right is very, so much about like pushing individualism and climbing the mountain, if I may put it that way. And then the left is very opposite. It just, it meshed so well. And then I went on to freedom, which was just, wow. Because it went into so much more depth with everything, like everything. And the deep thing is, I've been looking for this answer for so long. It's unbelievable. And it makes sense when Jeremy's like, we've been on this thing for 2 million years, because just in my own life, I've been looking for these answers. And it feels like it's been an entire million years in just one lifetime. But I just kept going. And when I found freedom, wow, I really can't describe how it was, like earth-shattering, if I'm to be honest. Specifically when, you know, he was speaking about the bonobos, how we got our consciousness. Every time I tried to resign in my life and like give up the search for knowledge, it was very difficult. It was very, very difficult. I became very obsessed with trying to understand why humans behave the way we do. Yes. Everything, I always was questioning, why do we do this? How is this possible? You know, how can it be just so mean to each other? It just didn't make sense, to be honest. It just did not make sense. And honestly, Jeremy Griffith's book, out of, I don't know how many books I've read, or like piece of information I've looked into trying to understand human nature, nothing comes close to Jeremy Griffith's work. Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. It's true when they say Jeremy's a prophet in that book. It sounds like an exaggeration, but it's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. And when he broke down the meaning of God, oh my goodness gracious, integrative meaning. Yo, that was like being hit. It's like running into a wall, and it was just like, wow, I really have no words to describe the profundity of the understanding. It was just, it made my life make sense. It made my life make absolute sense. Specifically the process of resignation, which I think everyone can relate to. That's one of the most easiest things to relate to, because I think almost everyone goes through that. That was one thing that I was like, okay, cool. I genuinely resonated with that so much. I was like, wow, I can really understand why people give up, because along my own journey, it was very difficult. It was very, very difficult to keep going. I'm just glad I had the strength to go. I can only imagine like how hard it must have been for Jeremy to actually have been pushing all this knowledge for so many years alone. Like, wow, that takes an immense amount of strength for him to have even released a book. It's just incredible. It's incredible. In my life, at least, I was fortunate that growing up, I was surrounded by many books. So I remember the first book I read was called The Child Called It, by a guy called David Plazo. And I'd say that was probably the first time in my life I really encountered the upset of the world through that book in particular. And from then on, I was just so curious to understand why, especially in the context of the book, and it was a true story. I was so shocked. I was like, how could a mother do this to the child? And from then on, I think that book just made me question more than anything else. Like, why would the people do what they do? It doesn't make sense for a mother to be so terrible to her own child. It was just so shocking. And it made me keep asking, like, why? The metaphor of the sun is so tremendous. And it makes sense now, because when I was in my first year at University of Pretoria, I did philosophy, and that's why I came across Plato's Allegory of the Cave for the first time. But I really didn't understand it to the depth that Jeremy describes it as, specifically once you could understand resignation. It's incredible, because once you at least are able to absorb Jeremy's information, it's shocking how resigned humans are and like how hard the human condition has hit us for so long. And man, it's we've been heroes in as much as we've done wrong in many aspects. For the fact that we're still here, still fighting, wow, humans have been so heroic. We give up. Like Jeremy didn't give up, and the few people out there that didn't give up. And that in itself is something that should truly, truly be celebrated, because I honestly don't know how we can go forward as the world without Jeremy's information. No, I don't see a way. Like, it's so important. I honestly, I don't know of any other. Jeremy's book is the greatest book ever written, in my opinion. Like, I can't think of any greater piece of information out there that is so healing and reconciling, because that word reconciling is very deep, because all aspects are involved in the human condition. I don't think there's a part of life that the human condition doesn't affect, especially when it comes to human relations and how we behave, from relationships to everything. It just specifically also another reason why it hit me so hard was I've broken up with my girlfriend maybe just before COVID, and made my search even more. Like, why is this happening? Why is it so difficult for men and women to connect? Why are relationships so difficult? All this stuff. So when Jeremy explained it as well in the book, I was like, my goodness gracious. I mean, how is it possible for one man to have all these answers like this? It's just so crazy. And it makes so much sense. That's what even makes it even more incredible. I was like, wow. There's no dogma, there's no sort of like belief system, there's no you must believe this or something like that. No, it's just use your mind. What do you and you have to just think. And I was like, wow, this makes absolute sense. This makes absolute sense. I've never looked back ever since, to be honest. It's I don't know how to put it in words, it's just profound. I was afraid that if I didn't continue searching for knowledge and just resigned, that I was a T that I was going to commit suicide. The moment I stop looking for the answer, I know deep down I'm going to be living a tremendously superficial life. I'm going to be, I wouldn't know how to go on. I was like, without answers, there's no way I'll be able to go on. Just living the 9 to 5, putting my head down, and just giving up the search. I was like, I couldn't deal with it. I was like, that to me was more scarier than searching for the knowledge, because at least there was some hope with the knowledge. I was like, me, as long as I keep going, there's something out there. Because I remember some group by Buddha that always kept me going was like, the only two mistakes you can make on the path of truth: one is not starting, two is not going the whole way. And I was like, since I've started, I cannot stop. I have to go the whole way. And even if I die trying, it's better than resigning and, giving up the whole search. Because to me, giving up was, it was death. Giving up was suicidal in my mind. Like, the healing and understanding that Jeremy Griffith has given us is the only way. And I was like, there has to be some sort of way, because there was no other explanation. It just nothing made sense. Nothing made sense. And all the different types of philosophies, New Age, I went into economics, education, conspiracies. I read people like David Icke. I went down the rabbit hole, almost all the things that you find, politics, religion. Hans was like deep into Christianity, got out of that, went into like other Eastern religions, got out of that. So, wow, I truly cannot really like sum up how powerful Jeremy Griffith's work is. As an African specifically, when he talked about integrative meaning, there's selflessness, living sort of like a together way, it clicked immediately, because here in South Africa we have that thing of Ubuntu. And in one of the other videos that I watched, there's another guy from Eastern Cape called Reginald Kojobe, and he spoke about the same thing. And I was like, this makes a lot of sense, because when I was reading it and was talking about the selfless love and all that stuff, that the word Ubuntu came to my mind immediately. And I'm like, wow, this makes a lot of sense. And also having grown up in the village with my grandmother, with my cousins, that Ubuntu lifestyle was what we grew up in, was all of us were together. We all lived this like sharing things. It was a very communal thing. So it made a lot of sense. And I was like, it just felt natural. I was like, this integrative meaning idea of God literally makes a lot of sense. And even my part was like, this makes a lot of sense. It makes rational sense. It's logical. It makes sense. One of the things that I also experienced as a Black South African living in South Africa, given a history of apartheid and all these things, as I was going down the rabbit hole of trying to search for the truth, especially if you're going to go down studying African history, you invariably develop some sort of animosity for white people. But the wonderful thing about Jeremy Griffith's work, it was just so healing, so reconciling that every form of sort of like animosity I ever had to white people, anything like that, it was all like wiped away in an instant when everything made sense, when racism actually made sense, like, okay, this is actually what it is. Different sort of like ethnic groups in the whole human race have different levels of psychological upset. And, you know, ethnic groups with less psychological upset may be antagonistic towards another ethnic group with a higher level of psychological upset. It just, that was one of the most reconciling explanations I've ever heard in my life, to the point where I don't see color anymore. Not in the sense that we're not different, but we're suffering from one thing. We're suffering from the human condition. This is actually what's going on. And once you can understand that, then sort of like the borders we have in terms of not even just physical borders, but like color borders, prejudicial borders, all these sort of like artificial borders we've made, stopping us from connecting with one another, all those borders just literally disappear through the understanding, which is so incredible. Because I remember reading, there's a philosopher, Indian philosopher called J. Krishnamurti, probably in my mind, he's right up there with Plato. It's just that he didn't come up with the allegory, but he's right up there. And one thing he always used to say, he was like, and only through understanding can man heal. Like, no amount of meditation, no amount of yoga, Reiki, whatever the point, whatever, all these different things can heal us. He was very adamant about that. He said, that's just creating another system. The moment you start like necessarily saying meditation is going to give you all the answers or yoga, da, 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 you're still not understanding the human condition. And having tried yoga and all these things, I'm like, yeah, that's very true. In as much as I meditate and all these things, it just calmed the mind, was like a relief mechanism, but it did not give us a healing explanation to the human condition and why actually, why do you even have to get over your mind? Why do you even have to like stop your mind and overcome it and transcend it and all these type of things? Why can't we just understand it in the first place and do that understanding heal? And that understanding is definitely provided by Jeremy's book. It's incredible.
That's just amazing to hear all that, Tao. Honestly, it's just such a clean take on it all. I mean, where do you live, Tao? What's your background?
I live in the capital of Northwest, Mafikeng. I'm a Tswana background. I went to the school here at International School of South Africa, pretty good school here in my town. Fortunate thing is that since it was an international school, I grew up with many different people, many different races, played cricket growing up, was pretty good at it, just short of playing for under-19 South Africa. When I look back at it now, one of the best experiences I've had, because I grew up with many different people, Afrikaners, Englishmen, Indians, other Black people. So it was a very nice melting pot. So I really got to experience many different sides of life, if maybe that way.
Yeah.
But as I got older, from probably Form 2, that's when my love for sports was still there. But that's when the confronting the human condition became more and more of a thing now. That's why I started reading more, sort of like being more isolated and spending more time alone. That's when then the real change happened. That's when I started writing a lot. And I'd say it was that period of time, like from 13, 14 onwards, that's when I really started dedicating my life to writing, to become a writer and all this type of stuff. And I'd say when I look back at it now, the main reason I became a writer is simply because I wanted to find out the truth. I wanted to understand the truth. I wanted to get to grips with it, and reading, writing, and questioning were the only three ways that I really knew how to do it. I didn't know any other way on how to go forward. Because I didn't, every time I'd ask myself questions, no one around me had the answers. So my friends didn't have the answers. My parents didn't have the answers. My teachers didn't have the answers. So I was like, wait, where can I go for the answers? Mm. And the one place I found was books. Started reading the classics, you know, Big Gatsby, started reading The Idiot, The Gambler, all these Dostoevsky's books, Bukowski, Hemingway, Albert Camus, Samuel Beckett. I really went down that rabbit hole, you know, Aldous Huxley, all these guys. Even read the Origin of Species, but it was just too thick for me and I couldn't really understand it at that time when I read it. But you know, even when astronomy, watching Cosmos, Red Cosmos by Carl Sagan, you know, Neil deGrasse Tyson, Stephen Hawking as well, his book, A Brief History of Time, all these things. I was really in like trying to reconcile everything. That's why in Reginald's video, when he was like, he spent his life trying to connect this piece and that piece and that piece, I really tried to do the same thing. And it was just so difficult. It was just so difficult. That's why having seen Jeremy do it, it's absolutely mind-blowing. I'm like, wow, for one man to be able to really go that whole journey and write it down in such a clear, concise way. Ooh, that's, I cannot understate the quality of what Jeremy did. Like, there are no words that can describe that book. Nope. Freedom is the ultimate, that thing. That book is just, there's no other book like that. That knowledge, hands down, I give it, even a 10 out of 10 is not enough. Honestly, we're living in the greatest time of man's history. But yeah. The fact that we're living in the time when the explanation has been found, that's just, it's beyond words, to be honest. And just understanding of even Christianity that I got from that book. And it's so incredible because my grandmother growing up, she was such a deep Christian. She used to make us go to church, me and all my cousins, all this stuff. And at that time, I just didn't understand. It felt so forced. Even as Jeremy was saying in the book, how religion formed, you know, first started with monotheism and then prophet-centered religions, you know, from Moses, Abraham, then Jesus, and going forward and all of that. Now it makes so much sense that to a large extent, I used to, once I got out of religion and became an atheist for a while, I sort of disliked religion and looked down on it as like, it's almost foolish. I was like, who would believe such a thing?
Yeah. But
now, once you really understand it, those words, everything Jesus said and others in the Bible said, is just, it's profound beyond measure. And just even to think that Jesus could actually, that's the biggest sacrifice one man could make for truth, that I can't even wrap my mind around how huge of a sacrifice that was to make, just to emphasize integrative meaning and all that. Wow. It's truly getting out of the cave.
Yeah.
Getting out of that cave. It's amazing.
Yeah.
But how do you start a sentence exactly? That's something I've actually been a lot of thought. Going forward, that's something I really love to join in, because once you understand the human condition, there's nothing more important than the human condition, to be honest. So I'm willing to dedicate a good chunk of my time towards it.
That was Rufense Molasiwa and Tony Mile. You've been listening to Freedom Essay 8, which you can read by clicking on the Read Essay button on your device, or by going to the WTM homepage at www.humancondition.com, where all the essays and videos can be found. How racism is ended by the understanding of the human condition is explained in Freedom Essay 28 and in Chapter 8.16e of Freedom. To learn more about a topic that was raised in this podcast, please go to the written version of the essay, because it includes references to other relevant freedom essays, as well as the sources of any quotes used. You can watch Jeremy Griffith present the breakthrough redeeming explanation of the human condition in The Interview. For a fuller explanation, read Chapter 3 of Freedom. And for a summary presentation of the key instinct versus intellect explanation, Watch Video or Freedom Essay 3. These essays were created in 2017 to 2022 by Jeremy Griffith, Damon Isherwood, Fiona Cullen-Ward and Bronnie Fitzgerald at the Sydney WTM Centre. I'm Tim McCartney-Snape. Thanks for listening.